May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Toy Story 4 was one of the greatest disappointments of my life. I will never watch it again, and I'm trying very hard to forget that I ever did. It had been 9 years since Toy Story 3 was released, which had wrapped up everything so neatly. Andy left for college. The toys were starting over with a new little girl named Bonnie. And after 3 darling movies, we could all see it was indeed these toys' destiny to be friends forever. In those intervening years, we added 3 kids to our family, and so in the anticipation of this 4th installment of Woody and Buzz and all their adventures, our family watched the first 3 movies again, so we would be ready to pick up the story where it had left off. Have you ever rewatched a movie or reread a book in advance of the release of a new one? I want you to take a moment and turn to your neighbor and tell them a series where you have prepared for the next installment by rewatching or rereading the originals. Boy, it's dangerous to invite you guys to talk to each other. Right? A sequel happens because there is more story to tell. And sometimes it's obvious there's going to be a sequel, like when the last scene of the movie reveals that the bad guy isn't really dead. Or when Doc Brown shows up and tells Marty McFly, "We have to do something about your kids." You know there's going to be another movie. But sometimes you don't know it's coming. Everyone who dried their tears as those toys were rescued from the incinerator by quick-thinking, squeaky aliens thought the Toy Story was over. But 9 years later, we dutifully returned to the theaters to see what was next for the gang. Sometimes when a sequel comes out, it's a surprise. Sometimes you don't realize that the end of the story is really the beginning of another one. This is true for the story that Luke sets out to tell in his 2-part series. Luke wrote both the book that bears his name and the book of Acts, which is actually short for Acts of the Apostles. The book of Luke, of course, tells the story of Jesus, beginning with that announcement to Zechariah and to Mary that special, unexpected babies were on their way. Luke's gospel tells of there being no room in the inn, of angels in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. It tells of the boy Jesus in the temple, Jesus' baptism, his preaching and teaching, his miracles, and of course, his crucifixion and resurrection. Today, Pastor Doug read for us the very end of Luke's gospel, just before the ascension, and the ascension itself. And before the ascension, Jesus opens the disciples' minds so that they finally understand what the scriptures mean and how they are fulfilled in the events of his life, death, and resurrection. And then Jesus departs with arms extended, offering a blessing as he goes. Things seem pretty wrapped up. A blessing as Jesus returns to heaven brings closure to the story. Roll the credits. But then we come to the beginning of Acts, which Pastor Doug also read for us, and we find, as way of introduction, in the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now we'll have to talk about who Theophilus is another time, but notice Luke's word choice here. That first volume contained all that Jesus began to do and teach. It turns out, despite no clear clues from the end of Luke, there was more story to tell. And curiously, Jesus, who is leaving, had more work to do. Now, Acts offers the sequel's obligatory summary of where the story had left off. After Jesus' suffering, that is, his crucifixion, he presented himself alive, that is, the resurrection, to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And then Luke retells the story of Christ's ascension. Like he does at the end of the gospel, Jesus gives the disciples instructions, and then as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. So, the story of Christ's ascension ends the gospel of Luke, but it begins the book of Acts. Well, which is it? The end of the story or the beginning? Actually, it's both. Despite the nice, neat bow that wraps up the Gospel of Luke, it turns out with the ascension, the story is really just beginning. What has happened up until this point was just what Jesus began to do and teach. And it will be up to the disciples to finish the job. And what exactly is that job? They are to be witnesses, both locally and far from home. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But before they get started on this work, they are to return to Jerusalem and wait. Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," which will happen about 10 days from then at Pentecost, which we will celebrate next Sunday here in church. Jesus' departure is actually necessary for the next chapter in God's story. With Jesus present on the earth, the only ones who had access to him were those who literally had access to him. With Jesus departing and the Holy Spirit arriving, access to Jesus will be open to all through the work of the disciples. The Holy Spirit will enable and empower them to bring the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. But we mustn't misunderstand that this is just like a big game of telephone or an advertising campaign or some well-resourced grassroots organizational effort. Distributing this message is made possible only because of the presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Remember the prologue? The gospel was what Jesus began to do. This volume is what Jesus continues to do, even in his physical absence. Jesus is still directing it all. And that's what the book of Acts narrates. The work Jesus does in and through the early church to complete the work Jesus began in the first part of the series. So, does Luke get it right in his gospel or in his sequel? Is the ascension, Jesus' departure from this earth, the end or the beginning? And I wonder what the disciples would say. In truth, most of life's biggest moments are both an ending and a beginning. A baby is born and new life begins. Suddenly now there's a mom and a dad and a baby with everything there is to learn ahead of her. But that birth is also an ending. The life her parents had before is over. That chapter is closed. I wasn't supposed to be funny, but okay. On the flip side, when a loved one dies, it's clearly an ending. The life on this earth is through. But our faith tells us it is also a beginning for the one who dies in Christ. Meanwhile, it is also a new, though certainly unwelcomed, beginning for loved ones left behind who are learning what their new normal without their loved one present will look like. Moving out of your first home means moving into a new home. A new job means leaving an old job. The end of the year means leaving your teacher, but it also means you get to know a new one. Yes, most big moments in life are both beginnings and endings, all tied up together. Another way to say it is, every ending comes with a sequel on its heels. Lauren, Hallie, Gwyn, and all the other graduates out there, you are in the midst of so many endings right now, and in the weeks and months ahead. Graduation, moving away, leaving your friends and family. All of those endings feel very heavy right now. Even when it's all very exciting, it can also be heavy. There are endings, yes, but they are also the start of something. They are the start of something that you are called to do, something that needs to be done, and it needs to be done by you. I'm sure that right now your minds are fixed on commencement, parties, shopping for your dorms, moving logistics, signing up for classes, your areas of study, and so much more. But know also that as you scatter to Lafayette, to Colorado, to Louisiana, you go not just as students, but as those called and equipped to continue the work of Jesus in this world. Moms and dads and grandparents and all the others out there wondering where the time went. Remember, these endings are also beginnings for you too. Often as we close one chapter, we feel this sense of nostalgia for it, that it was the most important chapter we'll ever be a part of. But there are so many chapters and sequels out there yet to be written. And I promise you, all of them will be better than Toy Story 4. I mean, all of them will be guided by the Holy Spirit that has called each and every one of us to be about this work Jesus gave his disciples to do. Graduates, as you start the sequel to your childhoods, share Christ's love with all you meet, work for the kingdom values Christ taught, and rest in the comfort of Christ's presence that will accompany you wherever the next chapters take you. Thanks be to God. Amen.